Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael on the Freedom 104.3 FM. All these freedoms, folks. The home of the free and the brave. And I'll tell you what, we are not going to be a home of the free until we can make sure that we're all acting in that capacity of the home of the brave. I have a very, they're all special. We're all special. But we're created in the image of God, so we're all special. But I've got a guest today that is got a book, a couple of books. One's coming out, I guess, very shortly, and we'll be talking about that. But the one thing I want to talk out straight up front, Dr. Forshin, is this book, One Second After. And the best way to do this, I think, is for you to tell our listening audience about One Second After, what it's about, and why it's important.
You asked me a tough question to start off. One Second After had a very dangerous scenario that Americans facing.
Hey, hold on just a second. We have got a very strange technical difficulty. You remember I told you we had everything set up to decrease our technical difficulties. And so I'm looking at all our dials. You've got a microphone. Everything's hooked up. Everything is beautifully hooked up. And we're getting almost none of you. So go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Give me a 1, 2. I've never done this on the radio. Go ahead and give me a short count test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then count backwards.
Okay, I'm shouting into the soup can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, we're going to do something very strange here. Okay, go ahead and explain to our audience, basically, again, as I said, One Second After. Just tell about the book and especially why it's important.
One Second After is about the threat posed to America by electromagnetic pulse weapons. An electromagnetic pulse is a byproduct of any detonation of a nuclear weapon. If a nuclear weapon is detonated about 200 miles out in space above the United States, what happens in that first millionth of a second, the gamma ray burst from the bomb hits the upper atmosphere and triggers an electrostatic discharge. So like a pebble rolling downhill and triggering an avalanche. By the time it hits the Earth's surface, it has built up a static discharge of 50, maybe 100 volts per square meter. That strikes the millions of miles of electrical wiring that crisscrosses the United States. 1 second later, the entire power grid in the United States is blown out. Game over. A congressional study in 2004 said that minimum physical damage could be as high as $2 trillion. But here's the scary part of it that goes far beyond that. Upwards of 90% of all Americans could be dead a year after such an event.
Now, you said 90%. What was that number of Americans you said would be dead, you say, after a certain period of time?
90%. 170 million out of a million of our fellow citizens would be gone because we are so highly dependent on a very vast, complex infrastructure of transporting food, medication. For example, when you, sir, got up this morning, where did the water come from out of your faucet?
The local water company.
How did it get there?
There's a good question. It wasn't by gravity.
Okay, you see where I'm leading, of course, that every major city in America would be uninhabitable within a matter of minutes if there is no running water. Sanitation breakdown, transportation breakdown, civil breakdown, communications breakdown. A year later, according to a congressional study of 2004, 90% of America is dead.
Well, a lot of people would probably say, well, you have got to be kidding. I mean, is he really serious about that? And I think what it is I think people don't realize something that you mentioned in your book. And I think I have read some of the reports that were done by the government recently. And one of the things they had to calculate was the how much food is available in the grocery store. And really, to take care of all your needs, they've got about 3 days worth. And to have their shelves basically emptied, it would take less than 30 days. And I don't think people think about that particularly. I mean, you mentioned water. Obviously, I think it's possible that you could get some water source someplace. I guess there's filter possibilities. There's some innovation, I think, that people can still somebody will get crazy and watch Beverly Hillbillies and copy what Granny did to get her rheumatism medicine and, you know, distill their own water or something like that. But really, and I'm kind of joking around that way, but people don't realize what the infrastructure required just to make sure that you've got lettuce to pick from.
Well, you're hitting the points there. Now, for example, we could take Asheville, North Carolina, draws water from a major reservoir. But at the same time, if our sewage plant in our little town of Black Mountain, the sewage pumping system breaks down, it goes into the local creek, which can possibly then cross the loop. Asheville sewage goes into the French Broad River, raw after such an event, polluting for every community downstream. We are 300 million people living fairly close together. Realize that when this republic was founded, there were only 3 million people living in the entire eastern United States. At the end of the American Civil War, when we were finally coast to coast, there were 30 million people. So the carrying capacity of the land to handle this population requires very complex systems, which are very vulnerable, and we have some enemies who very clearly see how they can bring us down with only 1 to 3 small nuclear weapons. That is why I'm so anxious about current news with Iran.
Okay, if you could, I've read a little bit about some of the tests in early 1960s, several hundred miles away from Hawaii. Could you tell our listeners, basically, I'm sure you know more about that than I could ever convey. Could you explain what those tests were about and what they found?
I'm enjoying talking. You're raising some great points. I know that this stuff, by the time you and I are done talking, your listeners go on and do other things later in the day, that they might say, gee, that guy really had a tinfoil hat on. So if this sounds doubtful to you, please Google up or go to the internet, look up things such as Congressional Study on EMP, or what you've directly cited. That particular test is called Starfish. Yeah, one word, Starfish Prime. Detonating a nuclear weapon out over the Pacific Ocean in 1962 blew out part of the power grid of Hawaii. There's Soviet Test 184. Or even go to Wikipedia and look up electromagnetic pulse. These great internet sources will lay the information out quite clearly. Or you can go to my website, onesecondafter.com, which will also link you into those technical sites.
And folks, just to let you know, this is actually, his book is quite exciting. I've done, as far that I'm getting reviews. Now, I don't think he paid anybody to do his review, but there are folks that are authors and people are used to reading. You know, there's a book club that people can give comments and stuff. The comments that I've seen have been that it's a fabulous book. It's quite exciting. It's quite intriguing. Makes you think. Now, here's the thing, is you hear a lot of people talking about having a garden. You're hearing folks here on Liberty Works Radio Network. I know Mike Slattery in the evening. When people call in, he asks them how their garden's doing. And I think he's trying to get people focused on what if. And if any of you have been through the Katrina process, one thing you saw was, and we were down there on the Gulf Coast, my mother-in-law is on the Gulf Coast, and everybody that was south of the train tracks had no transportation at all. So every car on a 100-mile front was lost to salt water, just as it would be, except for some of those, I guess the antique cars would fare better, but anybody with a new car with electronic ignition could possibly not be able to move. Now look at the Katrina thing, 100-mile front, about 2 miles deep by 100 miles. Consider that across a radius, a circular radius of potentially, 850 miles with one blast. What do you think, based on that test in Hawaii, if you had, say, one decent-sized nuclear bomb, I don't know whether it's a neutron or whatever kind of flavor it is, that got put up over, let's say, Cincinnati or something like that, what kind of effect, how far would that reach with regard to an electromagnetic pulse?
Well, a couple points there. One, EMP is what they call a line-of-sight event. In other words, the higher up you are, the further out it reaches. The perfect storm for people who wish to do America harm would be detonating 3 actually fairly small-sized atomic bombs, not the big ones. The big hydrogen bombs actually set up a kind of disturbance that dampens out heat. Smaller, about three or four times the size of Hiroshima bombs, one over eastern Ohio, one over Kansas, one out over Utah, Nevada, would blanket the entire United States with an EM burst, blow out the whole infrastructure, and then we are in very, very deep trouble. And somebody really phrased it well, wasn't me. Somebody else came up with the line some months back. This would be a nationwide Katrina. Now, remember, when Katrina hit, I teach at a small Christian college in western North Carolina, and what did we do? The following morning, we were already rallying and organizing, you know, to help our friends down in Mississippi and Louisiana. Churches all over America. Hey, the great comment is, what did Katrina teach us? Don't wait for FEMA. Call your church, because that's where your help's going to come from. But what do you do when the whole nation...
Well, that's a good point. And folks, in fact, in Asheville, you guys might have gotten a flavor of it last summer. Actually, last fall, you guys just had your homecoming. And a year ago, homecoming got the Friday activities, I think, got shut down because nobody could get to Asheville and nobody could get away once they got here. So you guys had a mini version of that, just what it would be like when there was no gasoline available.
Yep, that was the gas crunch of a year ago. We had to cancel. And let me add that we were hit by a hurricane here 5 years ago, which I think also caused us to cancel our homecoming that year, which was the inspiration for the novel. Because I had just been talking with Newt about EMP. I get back home. My gallant father, old World War II vet, was in the last weeks of his life, and he was putting up a fight. And the nursing home called me up and said, Bill, we got a crisis with your dad. You better be up here. But beyond that, we need your help. Because this hurricane hit and dumped 30 inches of rain on Black Mountain and Montreat in less than 24 hours. Blew out the infrastructure. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there. My father's on a respirator. We see the emergency generators running, which you will not in an EMP event. They go too. And I asked the nurse, so what happens to my dad if the power goes completely off? And she said, well, Bill, we have bottled air. I said, how long will that last for? About a day. Then what? Well, we'll give you one of those hand squeeze balls. She knew where I was leading because I'd already been talking to her about it. I'm not ashamed to admit, I sat there in tears because I was thinking, I will sit here with that squeeze ball pumping air into my father until I become exhausted. And when I stop, my father stops breathing. Millions of Americans will face that in the first day of an EMP event. If you want to look at a chamber of horrors, take a look at, and I'm surprised there has not been more direct expose on this, what happened in hospitals and nursing homes in New Orleans, where patients were abandoned and there are rumors of euthanasia.
Okay, hey folks, we're going to take a break here shortly. We're going to try to get the amplification worked out here before we come back. And you're listening to David Allen Carmichael, My Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to continue to talk to Dr. Forshin. We're going to get into this idea of EMP. By the way, he's going to tell some of his other books. As far as I can see, that these books are quite exciting. It's going to sound like an infomercial, but we're trying to give you the benefit of anything we can get our hands on, right? So no matter what we're going to do, we're going to do a public service to our listeners. You can tune in, keep tuning in to Freedom 104.3 FM. You're going to come back with David Allen Carmichael. I'm going to talk about the issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Our number here is 888-850-1872. Hold on to that because I'm going to pursue my interview before we open that up to the public. We'll be back.